Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the world we live in. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. We cannot accomplish anything without God. God is working in and through us by the indwelling of the presence of Jesus Christ. And our teaching today takes us to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. So let's join Pastor Brian for today's message called God's Work in You.
This is the final benediction. A benediction is a pronouncement of blessing. And so here the author is pronouncing this final blessing upon the readers. And he says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." As we come to this new year, I would imagine that many of you have made resolutions through which in some way you hope to better yourself in the year to come. Some have resolved to eat less and exercise more. I happen to be in that category. Some to spend less and save more. Some have perhaps resolved to talk less and listen more. On a spiritual note, some have resolved to read the Bible more, pray more, witness more, go to church more, be more diligent in serving the Lord, be more patient, kind, giving, loving, and so on. I believe that with most, if not all of us here today, the overall desire is to know, love, and serve God in a greater way in the year to come. I believe that's true about each and every one of us. But in order for that desire to become a reality, there are certain things that we need to know. And at the top of the list is how to live the Christian life God's way. Now, you might wonder, why do I say God's way? Is there any other way to live the Christian life than God's way? Well, not really, but quite often, people are attempting to live the Christian life in a way other than the way that God has prescribed. And they're attempting to live the Christian life through their own determination or their own willpower or by resolving to do the right thing. And this all, you know, sounds good and seems normal to many of us, but it's really not God's way. According to the Word of God, and particularly the passage we just read, the Christian life is not about putting forth our best effort, to do something for God, but rather it is about God working in and through us by the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ. This passage that we read, this benediction, this pronouncement of blessing, it reminds me of two other New Testament passages that say essentially the same thing. In Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, he wrote these words. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For we are his workmanship. And then Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he said, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And so what we want to do this morning is we want to look at how it is that God works in us, and that is expressed for us here in this passage that we read together. Now, I want you to notice, again, the author is, he's closing the epistle, and here he's pronouncing a blessing. He's giving a word of encouragement to the readers and subsequently to us as well. And this is how he states it. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." Now, this tells us something, and it tells us this. Whenever we think of blessing, we must always think of God first. You know, the Bible has beautifully laid things out where the emphasis is always first and foremost upon God and upon the work that God has done. Now, sometimes what happens amongst Christians and in the church is that we get it sort of backward, or in some cases we completely neglect the part about God, and we just are emphasizing all the time the things that, you know, people are responsible for and ought to be doing. This will create a lot of frustration, a lot of condemnation in a person's life. You see, I can't really do anything for God until I know who he is and what he's done for me. And that's the way the scripture lays it out. So the first thing we need to consider, and the author here obviously understands this, we need to consider God himself. So the first thing he tells us about God is that he is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. Our God is a God of peace. Five other times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And on another occasion, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." You see, God's plan for us is to impart to us peace. His plans for us are plans of peace. I love what we're told through the prophet Jeremiah. One of my favorite passages, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil or calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Now that word peace in Jeremiah, of course, is a translation of the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is an even more descriptive word than our English word peace. Because shalom doesn't simply mean that there's the absence of conflict, but it's richer, it's fuller. It's talking about a wholeness. It's talking about an abundance. It's talking about a thorough prospering. And so what we need to remember, what we need to know, first of all, is that God is a God who wants to bless us. You see, that's God's heart. God's heart is always first and foremost to bless us as his people, because he's a God of peace and he wants to impart that peace, that blessing, that prosperity to us. Now, remember, this is written to these Hebrew believers in the first century who have been going through very challenging times. They've been suffering for their faith. They've been persecuted. And it seems to some of them that perhaps they've made the wrong decision in following Christ. It seems to some of them that maybe God's intention isn't to bless because of the way things are going. But the author wants them to know that, no, God is a God of peace. And so that's where he begins. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. The second thing that he wants us to know is that our God is a God of power. Not only does God have a desire to bless, not only is that what he longs to do for us, the great thing is that he's perfectly capable of doing it because he is the God of power. And his power was demonstrated in a variety of ways, but particularly his power was demonstrated in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And so he reminds us of the fact that God is a God of power. But then thirdly, he speaks of Jesus, who was raised from the dead, as that great shepherd of the sheep. I love that title. That great shepherd of the sheep. And what does that speak to us about? It speaks to us about the care and the compassion that God has for us. So you see, first and foremost, he wants us to know God is a God of peace. He is a God of power. He is a God of care and compassion. Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep. You remember he spoke regarding himself. He referred to himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And any person hearing those words flow from the mouth of Jesus, those days would immediately in their minds, they would go back to that great 23rd Psalm. That Psalm that speaks of the Lord is my shepherd, making me to lie down in green pastures, leading me beside the still waters, restoring my soul. So you see, these are all of the things that the author wants us to have in our mind when we think of God. He's a God of peace. He's a God of power. He's a God of care and compassion. But then he goes on and he adds something else. He says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And this brings us to the second thing that we need to consider. We consider, first of all, God, who he is. But secondly, we need to consider the work of God. And you see, that's the order. God, God's work, and then our response. And so he's taking us along in the proper order in this blessing. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, the word covenant recalls all that the writer has previously said about how God has forgiven our sin, cleansed our conscience, written his law in our hearts, and given us access into the Holy of Holies. You see, it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant that God has accomplished these things for us. It was the blood that sealed the covenant by which the blessings of perfect pardon and direct fellowship with God were secured for us. So, you see, he's a God of peace, he's the God of power, he's a God of care and compassion, and he's the God who has done this great work by establishing this everlasting covenant through which our sins have been forgiven, our conscience has been cleansed, his law has been written in our hearts, and now we have complete and total access into his very presence through faith in Jesus Christ. So, now, having then reminded us of who God is and what he's done, the writer goes on to assure us of what God will be faithful to do. And that's where we pick up. What God will be faithful to do. What will he be faithful to do? He will make you complete. You see, this is the beautiful thing. It's not about my ability. It's not about my determination. It's not about my commitment It's about his ability. It's about his determination. It's about his commitment to making me complete. I don't know about for you, but for me, that's good news. Just to know that God is committed to that. I think of other passages that remind us of that. I think of another verse in Philippians. Paul spoke there of the one who has begun a good work in you. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great to know that God is going to complete what he started? And then back in the 12th chapter of this epistle to the Hebrews, you remember in speaking of Jesus, he refers to Jesus as the author and as the finisher of our faith. So he's the one who started the work. He's the one who's going to finish the work. And that's what we're being told here. Now may the God of peace, and we can just jump right to what he's going to do. Now may the God of peace complete in you his work. Every good work, doing his will. And this is the emphasis of the blessing. The emphasis of the blessing is upon what God is committed to doing. Now, to make you complete can also be translated totally perfect or thoroughly equip. So God is committed to totally perfecting, thoroughly equipping us in every good work to do his will. Now, again, when you think about the good works, remember the passage in Ephesians, the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The word, the Greek word is poema, translated workmanship. A better translation, perhaps, would be his masterpiece or his work of art. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We collectively, as God's people, and each one of us individually, we are God's work of art. He's working in us. It's him who is working in us to present, really, himself through us. As, again, Paul said, it is God who is working in you to will and to do. I never cease marveling at the fact that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. To me, that is just one of the most exciting concepts in all of Scripture. To think about that. You know, sometimes I'll see a group of young people standing around and looking like they're going to get into trouble, which is fairly common these days. And, you know, I look and I wonder, do these kids know that they were created with a purpose? Do they know that there's a divine plan for their lives? It's a beautiful thing. It's a masterpiece that God wants to bring forth from their lives. You see, God is the master designer. And he has a specific design for each and every one of us. And he is going to work that plan and purpose through us as we yield ourselves to him. Over the past few weeks, I've been reading a section in this book that I've been going through that's talking about the wonders of creation. And this past week, I was reading about the human body. And it's so fascinating. You know, it's interesting. You hear people often say, in regard to their atheism or whatever, they say, well, you know, I don't see any evidence for God. Next time somebody tells you that, say, just take a look in the mirror. Because when we begin to understand the unbelievable complexity of the physical order and of our physical bodies, it is absolutely astounding. Reading about the eye, reading about the ear, reading about the nose, reading about the digestive system or the circulatory system, or reading about the brain, this little ball of jello that can hold more information than you could ever even begin to conceive of or imagine. And you look at the complexity and the design. And you know, to me, as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know, if God has taken this much time and effort in producing the physical body through which my, you know, my spirit is housed, and if God has put so much wisdom and brilliance and effort into the physical, how much more the spiritual? Because, of course, the spiritual is greater. And so, to me, it just says, you know, if he's taking all this time and all this precision on that which is physical and ultimately that which is temporal, how much more is he intricately concerned with my life, my spiritual life, my relationship with him, my knowledge of him? These are fascinating things. And how much more can I be confident that if God has gone to all of these lengths in working in me physically, that he's going to go that much farther working in me spiritually? And as we look here again, this is what we come down to. We come down to this whole issue of God working in us. And that's what he says. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you, or the word could be translated us, working in us what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Working in us. That's the biblical picture. That's God's way. Again, it's not the get out the list and get out the pencil and, okay, I'm not going to do these things and I am going to do these things and I'm going to put forth my greatest effort in this year. That's not the picture. But rather, the picture is I'm going to yield. I'm going to surrender so that God, who is working in me, can work his life out through me. Those two pictures to me are such a stark contrast, and one of them is so appealing and the other is so very unappealing to me. You know, that rigid, formulated list of rules and all of that, I mean, to me that just, it just smacks of frustration, it smacks of guilt and condemnation, because I know that I'm not going to get very far down the road before I fall flat on my face. And I'm going to feel miserable. I mean, I feel bad enough when I break my diet, let alone, you know, breaking my commitment to the Lord. And that's what's going to happen. But when I'm in this other place of just allowing God, through yielding to him, to do that work in me and then subsequently through me, it's just such a better picture. It's sort of the difference between a factory, you know, maybe in a vineyard, or a factory in an artist loft or something. You know, the factory, it's about machinery and it's about, you know, everything's mechanical and all of that. But the biblical picture is different. It's like a garden. Would you rather spend time in a factory or a garden? Frankly, I'd like to spend time in a garden. And that's the picture.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called God's Work in You, and the resource number is OBB489. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.